Are there parts of motherhood that did not come naturally?
Do you feel overwhelmed? Are there secrets you wish you knew in advance about the motherhood journey?
Could you use a place to cope with motherhood, laugh your woes away, and lighten the mommy guilt?
Welcome to TORD, Finding a Mom Life Balance.
Welcome back to TORD, Finding a Mom Life Balance. On this week's episode, we're going to answer the question, do my dreams matter anymore? So memes, before we jump into talking about our dreams, now that we're parents, I kind of want to reverse the clock a little bit and ask, what were some of the dreams that you had before becoming a parent?
Well, interestingly enough, I laugh every time I recollect my mother thinking I was a heathen when I would say that I wanted to just travel the world and like just go from city to city for, you know, stints at a time. I don't know why she also associated that with me, you know, being reckless with any other part of my life. I was like, why can't I just travel the world? Why is this? Why the judgment? But it was lots of spontaneity, flexibility, exploration, meeting new people, socializing. I just saw myself maximizing just the unknown and embracing that. And I think it's interesting that at different phases of my life, that the value for that, it, like how it shifts. But for me, yeah, it was exploration, people. So interesting, before we started recording, we were talking about an event that happened here in New York City, but those kind of, like something popping up in New York, but feeling like I could be the thing popping up in other places where all these things were happening was definitely a way I saw. Then it's always been like a self-sufficiency and independence. And close ties and responsibility with my family, extended family. And then there were different phases of shifts for like career and what that looked like. But I definitely feel like a very clear recollection of a curiosity for the world.
Yeah. I would say dreaming for me, Torn Tribe, was always centered around work. Mm-hmm. Like I remember my earliest dream was being a carpenter and wanting to build something with my own hands, because I would see my dad do that and turn something that I thought was unrepairable, and he would bring out the beauty in it. And I was like, that is like the coolest job ever, like to spend all day turning piles of wood or piles of things that people declare as trash into something beautiful and useful that could actually be a blessing for them. And then my next dream, when I realized you had to do a lot of math and really be good at fractions, like the ruler destroyed my dreams of being a carpenter. Like 10th, 16th, I don't know. So moved on from that, and my love of animals and their loyalty. And I remember getting our Pomeranian and getting this book out of the library on what to feed her, how to groom her, how much exercise she needed and stuff. And reading this whole book about Pomeranians, which I remember classmates being like, that is such a boring book. But I'm like, I want the most beautiful dog. Like, and I just became obsessed with learning about animals and tending to their needs and what that could possibly look like. That I was like, oh, a veterinarian. Maybe that's what I'll be when I grow up. And so dreams always seemed to be about my profession, what I was going to end up contributing to society. it didn't really have to do with necessarily like relationships or family dynamics. Like that wasn't ever part of my dreams. Like as soon as I realized like how much science you would have to study just to love an animal and be able to be a veterinarian, I was like, oh, that takes too much time. But I just wasn't that interested in biology, honestly, to like commit that many hours. But then quickly the dream became about basketball and just desiring to play that game nonstop. And it had nothing to do with the fans or the team aspect of it. It had to do with my anxiety. Like basketball became my dream because it was the one place that I felt like I could morph into someone that wasn't Athena. Like that to me was a different alter ego, and I can disappear for an hour and a half at a time or 2 hours, depending on how long the game was or how long the practice was. And that dream kind of crumbled away when I didn't play ball in college and I no longer pursued it, right? So becoming a parent, I began to dream differently. Like it took on a whole different meaning to dream. Because even as I was getting into college, like my dream was kind of like yours, but from like a business perspective. Mm-hmm. It wasn't that I would just flippantly travel the world to do fun things, but I would be there on a mission. Like, and that was the whole reason I studied international business and Torn Tribe. Another unfulfilled dream. So if you know of an opportunity, because it's still a dream within me, to go do business in a different country in a different language, that would be amazing. Put my degree to use. But yeah, in my dreams, what I realized when you were asking that question, like pre-parenting, post-parenting, as we were prepping for this episode, I realized that my pre-parent dreams all had to do with an occupation and the fulfillment that I would feel in that occupation.
And that's so interesting because of my career counseling and line, like what I do in education currently, I've just today I was reflecting. So I went to the Bronx courthouse on a trip to see an organization that mediates youth cases with students. And as I'm hearing about day court for, 9 to 5, and there's night court from 6 to 1 a.m. And I'm like, oh my God, I was such a silly middle schooler that thought I wanted to be an attorney. So I'm like, I don't want that job at all. I'm like, and granted, I wouldn't have to be here every day, but I'm like, there's nothing about this job. Like, I'm trying to like not make faces so the kids are not like, what is wrong with Ms. Richardson?
We're not here for you.
Exactly. I'm like, oh my goodness. But a lot of that dream was persona, right? It was how I thought an attorney carried themselves, how they articulated. I love the way they constructed. It was still at the root the things I'm passionate about now, because it was like how they constructed a story to tell the defense they were going to tell or to help a jury condemn someone. Like there were thematic things, but then it was therapy because I was interested in the mind, like psychology, because I was interested in the mind. I didn't know if I wanted to do a private practice, but I knew maybe the research or maybe counseling or all the things about human nature that I was curious about, which at this point was more like high school to college, tied into my personal development interests. And so when I think about dreaming in the later stage, even thinking about children, it has always been this self-actualization, in psychology, learning about, oh my God, what is this man's, what's his name? But the pyramid of need, now I can't think, Maslow's pyramid of needs, really like opened my eyes to how we function and where certain people. And so when I thought about parenting, it was always like, where are you on it? Where do you need to be to give security for children, right? So all the in my interests kind of intertwined, but it m created like a bigger desire to develop so that I could be that parent that would kind of, we're not going to be perfect, but would guide from a place of awareness with each of those stages, which did kind of tie to my career interest too.
Yeah. And it's just interesting to me because when I asked the question, like, do my dreams matter anymore? That question came from the thought, from the realization that being a parent was never part of my dream. So now that I'm here and I never dreamt this, but now I'm living it, how do I keep on dreaming once having kids, right? And I will say, Torn Tribe, like, my post-parent dreams are very different. They're not occupational aspirations anymore. And I don't think that's a negative thing. I think it's just a growth. Like having children push me to dream differently. And I remember specifically with my first son, because he was so theatrical. That actually my dreams became fun. Like I dreamt of actually getting involved in theater, not only being a chauffeur, but partnering with him. And that's what ended up leading me to run a co-op and do their theater class. And we got to do Julius Caesar. But had it not been for that child, I would have never had that dream or that desire, right?
Well, I think it's curious also, like, I think young, that is the way the question's posed, right? Like, what do you want to be when you grow up? What's your dream career? Like, I think things are are structured that way, and the goal of like learning certain things is attached to that. And similarly, I think also because of the industry I'm in, I don't pose dreaming that way to the kids. Like, I actually want to shift them from. I had an acquaintance that would, whenever it was about like, oh, I need a job. Oh, I'm looking, like this is between college years and graduating college. And it was like, no, you need money, right? Like, what you're thinking of the job for is for the asset of capital. But that's different than like a vocation or a mission or the work that you produce in your job. And it was just an interesting concept to me because it was never separate. The idea that you could find different ways to make money, or that money didn't, or also that the job didn't have to take up your entire day or your like the do I live to work or work to live concept. Was also not novel to me. I was just like, what do you mean? I need money. I'm like, yeah, and how do you get money? Because in my mind, there were also limited parameters of how you made money.
Legally.
No, and even legally, it was like limited because I'm just like, I don't know that I want to do all of that to figure out. This is what seems like a very direct route to I spend my time, I get a check. Like, there's no risk, there's no like, but even that, I try to separate this idea because I don't think we're in a society that really values parenting has highlighted for me how little we value the actual person doing the work and the parameters to support. Because you think about childcare and what it costs and how few places have options to help support the childcare or the hours you have to work. I also continue to be boggled by the hours of school versus the hours of work. Like, it's almost like they're created by two different societies.
Yeah, is everyone surprised? Not everybody works in the school system.
No, but the
Or
thing is I work in
they
it and my
surprised?
hours are completely
Like,
contrary to my
yeah,
daughter's hours,
it's so
like
crazy. Yeah. Or the bank, like, why? I don't understand.
I'm just like, why is that closing at that time? Which also has nothing to do with the hours of investment. I don't know. There's many things that parenting just shines a light on how we create a system, or there is a, I didn't create it, I'm not taking credit for it. There is a system that preps us, it primes us for the kind of life we're expected to carry. And for me, the dreaming is also allowing for a freedom that sometimes the follow the direction and just follow the assembly line and get created into a person who, like, these are the parameters and this is what I can do, can limit the dreaming. Correct. So dreaming freely, thinking about what you're passionate about, thinking, but my bigger, like, root intention, first with my students and then as Justin is the oldest getting into the working world, it really is a grounding in, like, fundamental things that you have as talents and things you can bring in your toolbox. Because life, first, it's the working, the industries are ever changing. There's so many new things happening, but it's like, despite the circumstances, that's what you can count on. And so to make your dreams come true and to even try to dare to approach things that seem unfathomable, you just have to have that confidence and know that you have what it, not only what it takes, but that you're going to create, like, in yourself and in the circumstances, what you need to try for what you want to achieve and make those things happen, which I don't know that traditional education helps at all. It almost, like, does the complete opposite.
Yeah.
Because I don't think it's linear. And so I do, I appreciate from your homeschooling the things that help them think outside the box and change the structure of things. And then I try in Soph being in a more traditional school, I try to do the outside of school things that will help feed all those things so that the creativity and the ability to try new things, because I think dreaming can be something that's, like, poo-pooed and looked down upon because it's about what you physically can make happen. But I think you need to have hope and drive. But then there's tools to make things happen, right? There's 10,000 yeah. hours to make you an expert. There's, you know, there are things, there are actually pragmatic things behind the dreaming and achieving challenging aspirations. But you do have to have the hope. You do have to believe it.
Yeah. So do my dreams matter anymore? Yes, Torn Drive, your dreams do matter. And actually, how you dreamt before having children and how you dream after having children, I would say take stock, because the way that you dream is how you model to your child how they can possibly dream. And so for me, when I recognized that my dreams before having kids were all occupationally focused and how I was going to make income and how I was going to spend the hours of my life, because it was pretty much that, like, what was framed to me is that, you know, you work to live, you live to work, not that you work to live, right? So realizing that I didn't want that for my kids, and although they weren't initially part of my dream, I quickly learned that they were part of my dream life because they helped expose me to things that I would have never done on my own. I would have never picked up an instrument or go to theater classes or learn anything about theater had it not been for like some of my sons, or even soccer, like taking up that sport and learning it. And the other amazing thing is when we keep investing in our dreams, we become invested in our children's dreams as well. Because I remember early on in my parenting journey, when I brought my son home from Ukraine, I kind of prioritized things differently. And at the time, I was trying to hurry up and finish my master's. And because I was like sleep deprived from all the like change of hours living in Ukraine, having to come back to the United States and all that stuff. It's like, yeah, you shift things around, and just because you prioritize it differently doesn't mean you have stopped dreaming or have taken it off the table altogether. What I always love to tell my children is that not everything is final, right? Like, it's not that you're never going to come back to it again. It's just that you might come back to it in 2 to 3 years. But
Exactly.
always have it down, because it's not over, right?
And knowing
And
when things align, because different opportunities can pop up at different times. I agree. I think I dream bigger, and I dream with more or different intention, in being a model for her dreaming and for like my stepchildren, especially because I think I'm different to them. For all sorts of reasons, I think I give them an exposure to a different type of person with a different expectation. And not even of them, but just of life. That I think it just helps. I don't know. I think you need. Recently, my principal has been calling our team like the fairies on the fifth floor that make all these amazing things happen for the kids, which I think is a really cute image. And I'm like, I'll take it. And then that's kind of how I feel. I feel like I have childish optimism. I like the silly, the fun. Like, I think sometimes the hardest thing about certain adult situations is that I'm just not inclined to. I'm 45 and I do not see myself as a grown up in some of the traditional ways. Like, I don't feel like one. So sometimes I kind of play from a place that I'm sure makes someone lift their eyebrow, like, how old are you? Like, what are you doing? But I like being able to be that energy for others. Because I think it's easy to get caught up and not. So I think the kids make me dream bigger and make me from that very innocent, curious, hopeful childhood place.
Yeah, and honestly, I would say having my boys watch me dream motivates me to actually be even braver to make certain dreams become a reality and not just leave them as dreams anymore. And it's interesting because it's just like, this is a real practical one, Torn Tribe. Like, I ended the 2023 dreaming with an aspiration to read the entire Bible in 90 days. And I shared that dream and aspiration with my kids, and I had one son every night. Have you read your 14 chapters? Have you read? So much so that I completed it, Torn Tribe, before 90 days was even up. But they'll help partner with you and encourage you to achieve the things that you're desiring. And I just love.
Was that Ezekiel?
No, it was Sam. Sam was rooting me on. He's like, that's amazing. And we even like celebrated me and him when he realized. He's like, today was your, that's it, it's done, it's done. Like, you finished before 90. So we had a lot of fun celebrating that. But what I love is that in that quick read, the one verse that keeps popping out to me or resonated really deeply is, the more you delight yourself in the more you delight yourself in the Lord, the more he gives you the desires of your heart. And I think that word delight, we don't do that as adults and as parents often. We turn into the people that we think are, that we obligatorily have to be. right? We have to be the person that does all the cooking, or we have to be the person that does all the laundry or the chauffeuring or the research or the homework, but it's not stuff that we delight in doing. I think Torn Tribe, as we talk about this topic, do my dreams matter anymore? I would say yes, a resounding yes, they do, because those dreams are actually the things you delight in. And your children were given to you to help you even blossom those delights even more, and to model for them that becoming a parent doesn't mean you become a boring, bitter person, you know, but that you actually become more delightful because you're doing it with your tribe.
And so, see, further proof that I have a child inside me, because I strictly only want to do the things I delight in. And I'm not really the first to sign up for all the obligatory things.
And that's a good thing. Stay that way. And Torn Tribe, joy memes in delighting and doing the things you delight.
And now for our men's segment, where we share a highlight from the week.
So memes for our men's segment portion of the show. What's helping you keep it all together this week?
Dancing with Sophie Grace. I did a 4-day conference. Anyone who's familiar with Tony Robbins knows they're highly intense, even virtual. But then he talks about getting in peak state, and getting in peak state always comes with like turning up the energy, dancing around, and the benefit of not doing this in Palm Springs or wherever the location is, or in a conference hall in New York, or it was doing it at home on Zoom. And every time I had a chance to make sure I was in peak state and like turn up the energy, I was doing it with her. And then of course I started being supervised and being told when to stand, that I was standing too slowly. They said, stand up, you have to stand up. But I'll take her as my my trainer any day. How to get into peak state and, you know, bounce around and dance like no one's looking.
Yes, she does that very well. Torn Tribe, what's been mending me, and you'll notice when this episode drops, it is March Madness. Like, that is the best time of the year. Make a bracket, even if you know nothing about basketball. There's nothing better than seeing young athletes go at it and like give it their all. It's so inspirational. And especially this year, since I got to kick it off going to an NCAA tournament game with my son Sam and James Madison University, my alma mater, was in the dance. Man, I was, you know, memes. I don't know. Maybe I was bouncing off my Instagram page, but I could not keep it together. I was so excited. And me and Samseeds were so good that we were on TV the entire time. So the entire time I'm telling Sam, we just got to smile. Like, don't make any weird faces because the camera's on us, like 24/7. If people are going to dice and change this, like cut it up and replay
it. Don't become a meme.
Yes, don't become a meme. So I'm just smiling. And it just felt so good, Torn Tribe, that every time out, I was like, Sam is like, we're in the huddle. We're in the huddle, man. We're in the huddle. I can feel the sweat of the players. So yes, ironically, Torn Tribe, that's what mends me. Basketball, live action, feeling like you're part of the team and you're going on this road to Phoenix, baby. Like, let's go. So that's what's mending me. Living through college, guys. It's amazing. So if you haven't tuned in yet, tune in this weekend, guys. March Madness is here. It's upon us. And talking about tuning in, memes tell our folks how to stay connected.
We're on Facebook, Instagram, and X at TornMLB. Send us an email to tornmlb@gmail.com. Thanks for joining. Choose grace. When you feel torn, choose grace.